Welcome to What the Fantasy, episode 24, and I am Brandon Hay, and you can find me on Twitter at HayB3, and Zare is still missing for right now. He will be back later in the off season. So we have another great guest. So I have Austin Reed, and you can find him on Twitter at infamous underscore IDP. How are you doing, Austin?
I'm great. How are you, man?
I'm good. So tell me a little bit about what all you're working on.
Yeah, so currently I'm doing some work for Dynasty Nerds, and then I'm also working for Roto Heat, which is really fun, doing some contributing writing for them. And here soon I have a pretty big announcement about something that'll be dropping with them. Hopefully I'll be putting that out this week. And then behind the scenes, I'm kind of working on my own thing. So I'm going to try to kick off a fantasy show of my own called Philo Fantasy Show. And not exactly sure frequency yet, you know, still pretty early in the stages of planning for that, but started to get those socials together and things like that. And I'm pretty excited about where it's headed. So looking forward to getting that kicked off as well.
Sorry, I was trying to get myself off mute. Yeah, that sounds great. So, other than that, so how long have you been playing fantasy football in general?
I've been playing for, gosh, probably like 12 years now. So, you know, pretty long time, I guess. But, you know, I know there's others who have been playing much longer. But 12 years for me, I started in redraft and then did probably, well, I started with one league, of course, and I did that league consistently for, you know, my first 4 years or so. And then after that, I grew to start going into other leagues. And so I was ESPN, Yahoo leagues, but most of it was always redraft. And then started doing Dynasty just in the last couple of years. And man, it's been an experience. Let me tell you, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. So I did a lot of the same. I started off in one league, I think, in high school and, you know, played redraft, then started Dynasty about 5 years ago. And let me tell you, starting off in Dynasty, you make so many mistakes and everything. And it's a great learning experience. But, you know, definitely your first couple of teams, you know, you probably make them worse before you make them better.
Yeah. Yeah. That can happen sometimes for sure. Absolutely. When you first start out at Dynasty, it's a little bit of a different beast for sure.
Definitely. And I think the biggest thing with starting for Dynasty was that just because a player could be a really good NFL player, but for fantasy wise, you know, it's not always going to turn out that way. So that's something you definitely have to learn. But who is your favorite NFL team, or is there an NFL team you follow?
Yeah, the one in particular, I'm a Chiefs fan. I know, everybody's going to say, how long have you been a Chiefs fan? And I have been a Chiefs fan long enough to have watched Gerback and Rich Gannon and Dante Hall and some good football players come through, some bad football players go through. Neil Smith and Derek Thomas were some of my favorite players when I was younger. So I've watched enough Kansas City to say I am a fan. But I do like to follow all NFL teams. Obviously, I especially like to follow players around. Early in the 2000s, it was a lot of fun following all my favorite college players around, which favorite college team has always been the Miami Hurricanes, although I live in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and so I naturally kind of follow the Oklahoma Sooners and some of the Oklahoma State Cowboys as well. So it's been a lot of fun being able to watch all the Miami guys go into the NFL and almost, you know, guaranteed Hall of Famers over the last, you know, 20 years or so. But lately we have not put a good product on the field and not a whole lot of NFL talent either. So that's been kind of rough to watch, but yeah, Kansas City Chiefs for NFL team. And outside of that, I mean, I'm like most people who play fantasy, I'm a fan of players, fan of other teams, fan of, you know, watching certain players be successful. I mean, even as much as I loathe Tom Brady and how good he is, I am very sad to see him retire this year. And I have a lot of respect for Tom Brady's game and what he's done for the NFL and for all of us as football fans.
That's cool that you kind of have a little bit, you know, all over, you know, with Kansas City, you know, living in Oklahoma with Miami. I think maybe they finally found a coach that can get them back, but we'll have to see.
The coaching hires have been incredible. Like, I wasn't blown by the Cristobal hire, but he's bringing in a staff of people, and they have made a splash. And I'm excited to see what they do with that. I mean, the opportunities there, I feel like Florida's, they're okay. They've had some success recently, but not anything crazy. Florida State, they've been kind of down. The opportunities there for Miami to capture the state of Florida again and come back strong. So we'll see if it happens. If not, just continue to be miserable over here watching college football. I will say, though, as long as I am not having a good time watching Miami, I get to focus more on the NFL stuff. So it doesn't take my attention away much.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. I think it'll be very interesting because they're definitely trying to make a splash there. So, and it'll be a good time because, you know, Clemson's, you know, had a down year and there's really not a top ACC team right now with Pitt losing Pickett. So that definitely could be for Miami. So now just wanted to, you know, pick your brain a little bit before we talk about some of the rookie stuff about IDP leagues. And for people that don't know, that's where you have the individual defensive players. It can range from just having three or four, you know, starting to a full lineup. I'm in a couple where you start, you know, a full 11 or 12 players, a full defense, defensive tackles, safeties. Those are tough. And then there can be some where you have maybe six or seven. So, you know, it all varies, but they're fun leagues, but they're also very difficult when you first start. So I wanted to ask your opinion on how you kind of decide, first of all, who you kind of pick up, you know, on waivers, and second, how do you decide, you know, who to start week to week?
So setting a lineup, drafting a team, watching the wire, all those things are pretty relative to one another, with one key thing in mind. Know your scoring. That's the most important thing. Know your scoring. But also you need to understand how to value different IDP players and positions, and understanding that sometimes certain linebackers score more than other linebackers because of the scheme that they're in and the position that they're playing and the things that they're asked to do. And so this is why guys like TJ Watt are so different from, you know, guys like Darius Leonard. As far as fantasy numbers go, you could look at those two players, and they're two of the most prolific linebackers in the NFL, two of the highest targeted linebackers in all of fantasy. But their games are so much different, and where they line up and how they play and how they affect the offenses, and, you know, how they scheme against the defense that they're running. So that's the first thing that I would say, is just try to get an understanding of how defense works. The good part about that, and the fun part, is we have so much fun watching the offense, but it's really exciting when you start playing IDP and you get to kind of watch both sides of the ball, or when you accidentally watch like the other side of the ball, right? So you're watching the offense that you want to see, and you see your player on defense make a play. That's, you know, it's a lot of fun. But I always look at the position that they play. So linebackers are always my number one target. They produce the most. If you have a flex spot for defense, try to fill that flex spot with your linebackers first. And when you're looking at linebackers, the key is to find the middle linebackers, find the Mikes, find the guys that don't leave the field. I think one of the most important and most overlooked things about IDP is understanding, you know, that snap count and snap percent matters. The more you're on the field, the more opportunity you get. And just like with the offense, opportunity is king in fantasy. If you, and by the way, let me clarify that too. With the middle linebackers, the Mike linebackers, there's a big difference between them and an outside linebacker. Outside linebackers, a lot of times, are asked to play in coverage and just do different things. They get subbed out in certain packages, so their snap percentages are lower. And so that's where I was really going with, hey, you know where your linebacker's playing, know those snap percentages and things like that, because those things matter.
No, I think those are definitely good points on not only looking at how much they're on the field consistently, because we know there's some pass rushers that maybe only play on third down. So obviously that means that their efficiency has to be very high. And when they're on the field, they pretty much have to get you sacks, because most leagues don't give you points for necessarily for pressures or anything like that. It's just sacks. So for those guys that are just pass rushers, they really have to come close to the top five in the NFL in sacks to really give you that scoring. So that's why, you know, if you don't play in a full, 11 starters, you don't really need the interior other than Aaron Donald. He's probably one of the only, interior linemen that consistently, maybe DeForest Buckner also. There's a couple, but for the most part, they don't get consistent points. You want those guys that can rush the passer, at least on the defensive line. I like the guys that could rush the passer and are good against the run, since they get those tackles, kind of like a Calais Campbell, throughout his career has been good against both. And like you said, the linebackers, the middle linebackers. And if you don't have to play corners, it's probably don't necessarily want to play them unless they're required. And you want those safeties that are in the box, kind of like Jamal Adams, those kind of players. Because, if you can get a consistent five or six tackles from a player each week, and then anything above that, is just kind of gravy on that, because you just want that kind of, kind of like on the offensive side too. If someone's going to give you five or six catches every week, then that's a nice kind of baseline, not the varied up and down. So I think that's all good. Good things you're talking about.
Yes. Linebackers being the king of IDP, below them, you have your safeties. And if you're trying to figure out which safety you should grab, always look for safeties that have the ability to play down in the box and impact, the game. Not safeties that are just purely cover safeties, guys who can't tackle, things like that. They're not going to be as valuable. As far as defensive line, you're talking about the defensive line. Always look for, if you have just a general D line designation, like if you don't have to put players in position of defensive end and defensive tackle, and you just have D line positions like sleeper offers, always look for a couple things. I always look for the dual eligibility guys. So guys who play linebacker but have that D line eligibility, that's always nice to have. But also defensive ends, those are your prime defensive linemen. Defensive tackles, like you said, there's a couple that kind of impact the game. And are able to get you the points that you want, but it's pretty inconsistent. It's pretty hard to guess and get right. So I try to avoid that at all cost, and I just try to go with defensive ends if I can. So that's how I would recommend you do it. And then corners, corners, whatever. Those guys are like the least valuable on the field, in my opinion, between them and defensive tackles.
Yeah, I'll just say if you do, are in a league with that, you have to play some cornerbacks. I will say what I found is don't necessarily go for the premier ones like the Jalen Ramsey's, because they don't get thrown at. It's actually good. Those are probably good to just stream or get rookies. Because if there's a rookie, usually the quarterback will go after them, and you want in the corner, at least you want players that are going to give up catches but make those tackles. So that would be really the only thing there.
Yeah.
Because you can't really count on interceptions and passes defended, because that's, really a tricky thing. Kind of, hoping on touchdowns on the offensive side, you just never know what that will really bring.
Yeah, that's risk and reward, right? So, when you have those corners that are elite, that, they're just, like I said, I alluded to earlier, opportunity is king. And so with defensive backs, corners specifically, you want guys who are going to get the opportunity to make tackles, to get pass deflections, to get interceptions. And the elite corners like Jalen Ramsey and some of those other guys, they're not getting those opportunities for obvious reasons. So you definitely want to look at those guys who are getting consistent production. And there's some guys who get, I'm surprised at some of the guys who get the ball thrown their way. they're consistently good. AJ Terrell is a guy that comes to mind that is at the top of my list usually when I think about corners. I don't know why teams continue to throw at him, but the guy just continues to produce, and he's a fantastic cover corner. He can make the tackles. So, yeah, I mean, he's an example of a guy that, you know, when you're looking at that, you want to go after those guys that are getting those opportunities and are able to capitalize on them and make those big plays.
Definitely. So before we move on from the IDP talk, I just wanted to briefly get your opinion on, because I feel like one of the hardest things in IDP leagues are the trades that involve both offensive and defensive players, because I know there's a couple trade calculators that do have defensive value on players, but it's still hard. So how do you kind of approach that when you are doing trades? Do you mainly look for the trades on the offensive side and kind of just throw in defensive players, or how do you do that?
It's all dependent on the league structure, right? So, you know, in a league where you just have three defensive players that you're starting, and you've got a short defensive bench, you know, short defensive lineups, they probably don't hold as much weight in trades, but they suppress the value. But when you're looking at those deeper leagues where you've got, you know, 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9 defensive players that you're starting between, you know, your starters and your flex options in defense, and then of course you've got a bench behind that, that can really increase the value. So, you know, I think it just depends on, like I said, your scoring, it depends on your lineups and things like that. I just kind of look at it for it in a way of like, it depends on the league that I'm in. So it's kind of really hard to call. But I've seen cases, and I'm in leagues where we have really deep IDP benches and really deep starters, like 9 defensive starters, 7 defensive starters. And in those leagues, you know, you've got the top guys. I mean, Micah Parsons, he's holding a lot of value. He's not a first round pick, because he was never a first round pick, even when he was drafted in rookie drafts. Most defensive studs that are rookies, they're not getting drafted until about the middle of the second. So, you know, their value is lower naturally than offense. But if you, you know, go after the right guys, you should expect to pay for them. So, you know, it's just case by case basis, but that's a general rule of thumb, is times than not, you're probably not giving up a first round pick for a defensive player. I don't really care who it is. So that's just my opinion. I probably wouldn't do that. So, just depending on the player, usually second round or later. So no, they definitely don't hold as much value as offensive guys. Offensive guys, you know, you could go fetch at least a first or 2 firsts, or, you know, first round picks plus players. There's no defensive guys out there that are doing that.
No, I definitely agree. And I'm in an IDP league, and actually I've been trying to shop Michael Pittman just for, you know, different pieces. And one, I thought about it first. It was like a second round pick, and it was some middle level wide receiver in Trevon Diggs, you know, from the Cowboys. And I thought about it, but just Diggs' value is really going to be all those interceptions. And it's just, can he repeat that year in and year out? So I ended up not doing that deal and trying to get more for Michael Pittman. But that's kind of what you have to think about. And what I, at least when I try to trade in IDP leagues, I basically am looking for an offensive player. And then if I'm on the lower end or the higher end of the, you know, the value, then I'll try to get a, like maybe a linebacker thrown in, or maybe a safety thrown in that isn't, you know, high level, but I think could give you, you know, either a bench filler or, you know, a bye week filler kind of like thing. So, but definitely, I think that you're right. It just depends on the league, and just, you kind of just have to feel the league and like how the trades are really going.
Yeah. I wouldn't have made that trade either, by the way. Michael Pittman.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a whole,
I got a lot of feedback, and a lot of people said no. So I was like, I'm glad I didn't make the trade.
No way. Trevon Diggs, he had a fantastic year. He's a magnificent player in real life. He's a guy that you probably want on your team. He does get thrown out a lot, and he gives up a lot of big plays, but He's a ball hawk. I mean, he makes a lot of plays too on the defensive side. But yeah, it's like you said, you want to look for guys that can repeat. I was very vocal about, I don't know why, and I know people are going to hate this, and everyone in my league like was out for my head when I said it, but when Michael Thomas had his like career NFL record setting year, when he had, I think it was like 145 receptions or whatever it was, and he broke the record, I was like, okay, it's time to sell, because he's not going to do that again. I have some concerns a little bit about Cooper Kupp still. You know, if Matthew Stafford continues to play at a high level, maybe there's a little less regression, but I am a little bit cautious with Cooper Kupp. And that's kind of the same way with defensive players. When you have Trayvon Diggs, who gets that many interceptions and big plays in a year, or even a guy like TJ Watt, who I have at the top of my IDP rankings, by the way, he's my number one IDP player. The opportunity for regression is certainly there, and you have to be mindful of that. I mean, those guys had career years. They did things nobody has done. So when you think about it like that, you know, it's hard to think that they're just going to repeat that or they're going to improve on that. It's almost, you know, expected that there could be some regression. You just hope that it's not anything major.
No, I definitely agree. That's probably a good point that I might do in a later podcast, just kind of talk about those guys that have these career years. And yeah, I think Cooper Kupp's still going to be good, but mm-hmm. is he going to be, you know, like the top like that? Probably not, because, just quickly, if you imagine, you know, obviously Robert Woods got hurt, and then they didn't bring in OBJ until, you know, midseason, and Cam Akers was hurt. So maybe if Cam Akers is healthy, they run the ball more and everything. Not to say that Cooper Kupp's going to totally fall off. You know, we're actually going to talk about not a player that high, but in 100 for later, kind of similar situation, him being the best, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. So we as a podcast had our first rookie mock ever this past week. Yep. And so we wanted to go ahead and talk about that. So I'll put that on the screen.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm glad you have this, because I was like, oh, I'm going to have to go back and forth between, you know, two tabs to see this. Because like one tab, it was kind of covered up. I couldn't see Edelman HOF. I couldn't see the 101. I couldn't see his draft order. I could see team two on, and I was like, man, who did this first guy get? So,
all right. Yeah. So I'll just kind of go over it quick and just some brief things. When we were talking during the draft, some people were like, you know, because this is a super flex mock draft, tight end premium. So most times super flex, you know, quarterbacks usually go higher. Some people in this draft were, when we were in the chat, said, you guys know it's a super flex. And then some other people were like saying, you know, but pretty much these quarterbacks are crap. So I'm kind of in between, but I, you know, I'm right here in the 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm in the sixth spot. And I will say Zare, he was at work when we started. So some of these were auto picked, but just to kind of look at this, Malik Willis was the first quarterback taken, then Corral, and then Howell. So three went in the first round. Some people were surprised that Pickett went in the second. Mm-hmm. And I got Carson Strong in the third, which, you know, I know there's, you know, concerns about his mobility and everything, but I think getting a quarterback that could go first, second round, that could get a chance to start, I think that's a steal to get them in the third round. Same with I'm not a big Ritter fan, but he's there. So
I like Ritter.
So we kind of have this. So, you know, I think pretty much the first two rounds of the rookie draft are where, like, probably you get the most, at first glance, get the most impactful guys. Third and fourth round, you're kind of just looking for those high upside guys, some guys just to hit. I'm not going to lie, there's a couple of these guys in the fourth round that I didn't know who they were. Were joking with this Jay Chestnut. We were like, is Joey Chestnut the hot dog eater in here? And, you know, a couple others, you know, I didn't necessarily know that much about. And you'll kind of have that. And this is obviously early. Let me just say I hope to do, you know, at least a couple more before the actual draft. So let me get your opinions on how this draft went, and, like, who do you think had the best draft?
Sure. So you guys were talking about the quarterbacks and how late they're going this year in Superflex. I have no problem with that at all. In fact, I don't have a single quarterback going inside of the top. Let's see, one, two, three. I probably have one going fourth, I think. Maybe. Somewhere around there in my rankings. I don't hate Malik Willis at four. I think that's an upside play. I'm not sure that he's the best or most polished quarterback in this draft class. I'm not even sure that he's going to get opportunity to be, so we'll see how it shakes out at draft time. That's going to really kind of determine really where these top four or five, if you want to call it five. And I think I have Ritter in my top five, but these top four or five guys, if you want to kind of see where they're going to land in the NFL draft, that might dictate like how I rank those four guys. But let's see, the number one pick with Treylon Burks, I probably would have went with someone else. But if you want me to pick a winner here, the teams that I like in the Superflex with the tight end premium, I like Matt Cooper's team pretty good. I like the Matt Corral pick. I love Trey McBride and then Desmond Ritter. I see a few others that do intrigue me. Zach looks like he's got a pretty good team here. Hogan. I'm not sure how to say his name, but I know his name's Zach. He picked at 104. He got Malik Willis, Kenny Pickett. I like Mechie and I like Bede as well. So, all four of those picks are solid. I think those guys probably have, in my opinion, the top two teams. There is one team that I did want to give a shout out to, though. This Zekants FF, who went 105. I have Garrett Wilson as my wide receiver one. So I thought that he was my 101 right now. I thought that at the 105, he got a great value pick there. I probably in the second, instead of going Rashad White, as much as I love his game and as much as I'm curious to see where he lands in the draft and what kind of opportunity he might get, he could end up being a good pick, but I probably would have went Trey McBride in the second. And then in the third, I probably would have grabbed Nyheim Pierce. Now, hindsight's 20/20. I'm able to see the board and see where people went. So, maybe I, would have done it a little bit different than that. But just looking at this board, I would have loved to have seen a Garrett Wilson, Trey McBride, Dameon Pierce, and then whoever in the fourth, I guess. I guess looking at this lineup, you maybe could have even got, I mean, if you wanted to get a quarterback, Ellaby was a good pick, Zapp. But yeah, I mean, but if you ask me to pick two teams, I'm probably going to go with Zach's team at the 104 or Matt's team at the 107. I think I like all those players pretty well.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I have Garrett Wilson as my first wide receiver. I was really hoping I could have got him at six. I really like Jameson Williams. That's why I picked him, but the injury obviously is not ideal. And there are parts of his game that do worry me a little bit. Obviously, just a 1 year production, and he tends. I've talked to it with Matt Cooper about this. For some reason, he makes nice hands catches on the outside, but when he goes over the middle, for some reason, he body catches it, and sometimes he can, have some drops like that. If this went different, so say if I had the chance to either get, like, say, Isaiah Spiller or Matt Corral, I probably would have picked Corral over Spiller. If I had 101, I don't think I would go quarterback this year. I would probably, depending on how my team is, go either Breece Hall or Garrett Wilson,
Top
depending
two.
on what I need, what I need more. I'm not a big Drake London guy either, but
Really?
I feel, I think he's good. I just don't think he has the ceiling that some people think he has. But I mean, if you get him late in the first, or obviously that's a good pick. I'm pretty up on Sam Howell, even though he had a little bit of a down year. So I think that was a really good pick, getting him that late.
Yeah,
I
I
don't
do as
really
well.
know what to think about Pickett. I need to watch more of his game tape. I know he had a great year this year. And I just bring up this point. I just worry he started 4 years. In three of those 4 years, he was average. And then he had this, you know, great, great year. So it's kind of the question, did, you know, all of a sudden it just like clicked, which is possible, or is this just kind of like, you know, everything just kind of, you know, throwing the chance and everything? Because people bring up Burrow, and I just like to say Burrow only played 2 years, though. If he had started, you know, four and three were, you know, average, because his first year at LSU was probably above average, and then obviously the second year at LSU was maybe one of the best college football years, you know, we've seen from a quarterback. That's my worry about him. And running backs, that's another thing I wanted to ask you, your opinion on Kenneth Walker, because I think there's the top two, a gap, Walker, a pretty big gap, and then everyone else. So what is your opinion on Kenneth Walker as an NFL player?
First, the Kenny Pickett situation. I've watched the film, and he reminds me more of Daniel Jones than he does Joe Burrow. So let's just be clear about that. If you watch those two players play and you make any kind of comp just because of how much college football they played, I'm going to question whether you ever watched the tape at all. I'll just leave that there. I don't hate Kenny Pickett. I think that he makes some good plays. He can move with his feet, so he has some fantasy value there, but he sure makes some bad throws sometimes. And I don't know where to put him in this draft just yet. I mean, I feel like I have Matt Corral and Sam Howell, and then for the upside, Malik Willis ahead. Matt Corral is my I think right now is my number one quarterback. I wish he was a little bit bigger and had a little more size. But man, I love the way he throws. I love the way he sees the field. He can move around. He can do some things. I'm really curious to see where he lands. But Kenneth Walker, talk about some of these running backs in this class. You mentioned Isaiah Spiller, how you would have drafted Matt Corral over him. As much as I like Corral, I probably would not have drafted him over Spiller. However, I'm not as high, I think, on Spiller as like the consensus seems to be. Breece Hall is by far the 101 of running backs in this class. I don't think it's particularly close. Another guy that I really like on this list is Tyler Allgeier from Kentucky. BYU, I'm sorry. Allgeier is, I mean, he's incredible. He's really good. I am curious to see where he lands and what kind of opportunity he gets. I think he's going to really surprise some people. Kenneth Walker is one of the hardest for me to evaluate, because when I watched Kenneth Walker on film, I see a guy, he catches the ball well, he's really fast, he has good size, like has some things to his game, but there's some things that are missing. And I think, you know, some of those things are like, I'm not super impressed by his change of direction. Kind of same thing from Isaiah Spiller, like not super impressed with that. The jump cuts and just plant your foot and just go. As powerful as Spiller is, and even Walker, I just don't see it. I also, you know, that start-stop speed, I don't see that as much either. I don't see that just explosiveness. I mean, when he gets to top speed, Kenneth Walker is as fast as any running back in this class. There's no doubt. Wouldn't be surprised to see him running the fastest 40 this year in this class, potentially. When we're talking about our top, you know, four or five guys, he could potentially be the fastest one of all of them. So he's got that going for him. He's got a few things about his game that I do like, but he's really hard for me to just put my thumb on and say, like, yep, this is where I want him to fall in my rankings. So for me, I currently have him at three. I think he was drafted in the order that I have. Breece Hall is the one, Spiller's two, and then I do have Walker three. This is pretty close to what I have, although I think I've got, you know, I've got Williams as my fourth running back. And then I think I've moved Allgeier up to my fourth, and then Damian Pierce, my fifth. So that's just my rankings. But yeah, Kenneth Walker, he's a tough one to evaluate.
No, I agree. And I, you know, you brought up the Dynasty Lounge. We'll just want to give a shout out to that. A great thing that Joe O'Leary put together. You know, it's just a bunch of group of us. You know, there's it's a Slack channel, and we, you know, talk about trades. We talk about everything. And actually, Kenneth Walker was brought up there. I know Joe really likes him, and we kind of discussed. So let me ask you this question. Do you think if Kenneth Walker gets picked, say, round 1 to 3, so he's a day one, probably not a day one pick, but say a day two pick, do you think in rookie drafts he should definitely be picked in the first round?
Yes. I do.
I agree. Yeah. I think this is probably around the spot, probably 8 to – or where you get picked 9 or 10. I say that's fine for him.
I would say for him to fall out of the first round, for me personally, and just looking at the list even that we have here, something catastrophic would have to happen to him, like at the combine or something would have to come out about his character. Like, there would have to be something pretty glaring for me to move him out of the first round. I'm not really looking at draft capital as much. I mean, it would have to be like he would have to move way down in draft capital. He would have to be like a day 3 guy or 4 guy. That would, you know, that would be like really concerning if he was a 3rd, 4th, 5th round pick. But I don't see that happening. I think he's a lock for the first round for sure.
Yeah, I tend to agree too. The only thing I could find, or that I would think, you know, just from everything I've heard, I haven't heard any like rumors about, you know, character or anything. I think if he just went to like a horrible situation, like if some reason like the Colts decided to pick him, or, you know, someone that has a bell cow back, and just he wouldn't have, that would really be the only thing for me. And there was talk too in the Dynasty Lounge about, is there a chance that based on where Walker gets picked, could he get picked in front of the other two running backs? I said, I guess I could see someone doing that. I wouldn't, because I definitely had Brees first, and I like what you're saying, both about Spiller and Walker. I think Spiller's a little better, but I think Walker is your traditional running back, you know, first, second down type running back, runs, you know, through tackles. If you block well, like, you know, some Michigan State blocked well in some of the games in those long 80-yard runs, if he gets a hole and, you know, gets up to acceleration, you're not going to catch him. But I don't think he's great at making people miss in the hole and kind of necessarily running through people. I think Spiller shows enough of that, but not consistent as Breece Hall does. I think Breece Hall just Matt Wallman had some great analysis of his tape, just what he does in the hole and everything. And I mean, he people talk about Michigan State not having that much talent. Well, Iowa State literally they most games they couldn't throw the ball with Brock Purdy. So I've been a Breece Hall fan pretty much since he started his freshman year. And I don't really know why Spiller kind of overtook him in some people's eyes this year. I don't necessarily saw anything that would change that for me.
Yeah, Spiller runs pretty up and he runs kind of like standing up for me. He actually, his style kind of reminds me of Adrian Peterson with the way he runs, like almost like a stiff board, but he does it so well. Like, he does it with power, and like, he's pretty nimble for like how he, you know, how tall he stands when he's running. Like, he doesn't get low. He's not, you know, he's not really like super shifty. But I mean, he gets the yards. I mean, he produces on the field. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of like you. I mean, Spiller, he can catch out of the backfield too. I think he's a bigger guy. So maybe that's, you know, what people like so much about him. But I could see Walker being drafted ahead of Spiller. Maybe. But I think Spiller has the name behind him. Like, he has this, you know, whatever it is, he's got this little buzz behind him. And I don't think teams are going to take Walker over Spiller. Although it wouldn't surprise me, just to be clear. Would not surprise me. But yeah, Breece Hall is wow. If you put the guy's tape on and you watch, like, he does things in the hole. I mean, he makes defenders miss. Like, he is smooth with it. And a lot of people don't like that he doesn't have that breakaway speed. And he's probably not going to be the fastest running back in this draft. I'm curious to see what his 40 time does look like. But it's not going to move him down any for me, unless it's, again, you know, if he just tests horribly, you know, maybe, possibly, it could be discouraging. But from what I see on tape, I don't think so. He's very clearly the 101 in the running backs for me.
No, I definitely agree. And this isn't necessarily, I'm not making this comparison, but I think he's similar in a way of he's not going to, his speed isn't going to be like blazing, like if you just run the 40, but I think his game speed is really fast, kind of like James Robinson, you know, like in holes, he has that burst to get like chunks of yards, 20 to 40 yards. I'm not trying to compare Brees to Robinson. He's obviously a better prospect coming out of school, but I think that kind of speed on the field is similar where you get in. I mean, to be totally honest, how many times do running backs run for 80 yards anyway? You know, you want those big 20, 30 yards chunks, which he has plenty of quickness for.
Sure. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the first mock. Like I said, we'll be coming up with some more mocks and we'll go over those. So that's it for this. So let's go back. So now this is the fun segment I told you about. You said that you like music. Anything that you DJ?
Yeah, I own a mobile DJ entertainment company. We specialize in weddings here in Oklahoma City. We service Oklahoma, Texas. You know, we've been to Kansas and pretty much wherever we're called to go and people hire us for. But we mostly service the Oklahoma City area. And so my company does over 120 weddings a year. I got a team of 7 DJs that work for me, and we go out and we gig. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Although, there's 5 songs that I can name that I would probably never play because I hear them so often at weddings. But, you know, there's plenty of music that I get to listen to like outside of my job that I get to enjoy that I probably wouldn't enjoy, you know, playing at somebody's wedding so much. It might look at me funny.
No, I get that. I did want to ask you one question. Working the weddings, do you hate when people consistently come up to you and request songs, even though, you know, there's like a set kind of music list you're trying to go through, or does it not really bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me. In fact, it gives me an opportunity to kind of engage with them, but also to like get an idea of, hey, you know, like this is what my client will tell me that they want. This is, you know, this is going into, you know, the event. It's like, here's what you think is going to happen. And I always tell my team like this is like, whatever you think, just throw it in the trash before you even walk in the door, because that's not what's going to happen. That's just the events industry in general, but especially for DJing. And so whenever I get there, I definitely like to get that feedback from the guests and things like that, so that I'm able to, you know, give them the experience that they want. And not all people are on the same page. Sometimes I get crazy requests. Like I've had at a wedding, somebody came and said, hey, like, can we play Inner Sandman by Metallica or whatever, like some Metallica song. And I'm like, okay, you're in the wrong place right now, not me. So you kind of have to tell those people like, hey, I love that song, whether I like it or not. I'll be like, hey, I love that song. Like, great, great request, but I don't think it really fits for what we're doing tonight. So sometimes you have to deal with people like that, but yeah, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. I don't hate it at all.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I just told you we're just going to do a little 5 song playlist. I didn't really give any background of like what it's for, you know? So I'll let you go first with your 5.
Oh my gosh. So like, I'm a big fan of like all types of music, obviously, but I've really been digging like for the last, I don't know, like at least year or two. I've really been digging Joyner Lucas. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he has some really good stuff. He's a hip hop artist. He has some pretty cool stuff that he puts out. Lately, I've been listening to a little bit of Eminem, just because like the Super Bowl thing. It's like, oh man, I haven't listened to him in a long time. Let me go back and listen to some of those like songs that were so awesome and find some new stuff. But yeah, I mean that. I like some Cody Johnson. I like, I don't know about like 5 specific songs, but I could maybe give you like 5 specific artists that are like go-to, and it would be like, depending on my mood, it could be Joyner Lucas. It could be Cody Johnson. It could be, Eminem. It could be, let's see, who are like some of the top like pop names right now? Because like sometimes I listen to pop music, I guess. Like Post Malone's pretty cool. He's got some cool stuff, I guess. And then Five, I don't know, man. I would mix it up. Like I get into the, like I really like sometimes, like I like some good R&B music from time to time. Like there's some really awesome like R&B music that I like to get into from time to time. And then also some of the classic like pop Motown type stuff, like the Temptations and, you know, Stevie Wonder and some of those. I play those a lot at weddings, and so I get to hear them a lot, but I like actually find that I really enjoy those guys as well. So I would like, it's hard for me to put a finger on like five songs or five artists that I'm like absolutely must have. So I'm all over the place. So, but those are probably some of my favorites.
Yeah, definitely. And when you said Temptations, I was going to say that definitely is wedding music, because I feel like, yeah, you know, the older crowd, the younger crowd, they've all heard those songs and they, yeah, can all, you know, sing and dance to those. So it's, yeah, kind of crazy, like how those songs kind of like, you know, everything from Motown and everything like that kind of brings everyone together, you know, with your, yeah, typical wedding songs.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of all over the board too. I don't necessarily like I listen to newer songs, but I definitely listen more to songs that, you know, in the 2000s or the late 90s, you know, because that's like when I was in high school and college. Yeah. So but a bunch of those, but these kind of go all over the board. I do go in and out of phases of listening to like country music. Like my wife, yeah, that's like the only thing she'll listen to. And right now I'm kind of in a, I don't really want to listen to country right now. Cause you know, I think country concerts are really fun to go to.
Yeah.
But sometimes, yeah, like country songs don't really like put me in the mood. So these are five songs that I put. I'm a big fan of OAR. I've been to a bunch of their concerts. Okay. In This Town is a big song of theirs. I like, another one. I like a lot of, like hip hop songs that are like the remix version, because like they bring in more artists and everything. So one is Forever. It has Drake, Lil Wayne, Kanye, Eminem. Like I said, it's all over the board. I have, I like Fall Out Boy. So it's one of their songs, you know, maybe not be as popular, but Saturday, I really like that song. Another one, Kanye, a song that me and my friend really like, Family Business. It's not one of his most popular songs, but I really like that. And my friends always make fun of me because I always like talk about and play the song, but Where the Party At with Jagged Edge and Nelly. That's just like always been a song that like I request all the time. So, you know, it's kind of, it's weird because I kind of go all over the board. I mean, you know, I can listen to the boy band songs, the 90s, the country, hip hop, you know, all of this. So, you know, there's pretty much not much that I won't listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you jogged my memory a little bit. I would say Luke Combs is like at the top of my list of artists.
Yeah, he's really good.
Like he is way legit. In fact, I got to see him down in Texas for a big festival, and man, he was incredible. And then, yeah, Drake, can't go wrong with Drake. You mentioned his name, and I'm like, yeah, Drake, like he's dope. All of his stuff is really good.
Definitely. So we'll close out the show. Last week we did, or last episode, so it was 2 weeks ago, did some Dynasty Pick'em with Tyler, where you kind of picked two players. This time it's more rookie-centric, so we got the a player, and then, you know, either a pick or, you know, some of the players in this. So for this one, we're talking about this Hunter Renfrow. So Hunter Renfrow, after his great year last year, or, you know, any 2022 first-round rookie pick. So which one would you rather have in a Dynasty?
I will preface this answer by just saying, and I could give a short answer, but I wanted to give elaborate answer on this. I really like Hunter Renfrow. I actually think there are some things that he does that Cooper Kupp does, and they're similar in that while Cooper Kupp may not be the most physically imposing guy on the field, you listen to that guy talk in his post-game interviews and you know, like, this dude knows football. It's almost like having the way I explain it to somebody is like, it's almost like having two quarterbacks on the field at the same time when you have him and Stafford on the field at the same time, two guys who know exactly what the defense is doing, exactly what their jobs are. And I can tell you that's why he was so successful this year. I can tell you that with certainty. He's a technician with his routes, excellent route runner. I could say the same about Hunter Renfro. You know, he's not the most physically imposing specimen on the field at any time, but has established himself in Oakland, in Las Vegas now, as the wide receiver one in that offense. He is an excellent route runner. He has a great rapport with Derek Carr. They're always on the same page, and you can just see it. He's a fantastic receiver who I really like. But with this year's class being so deep at wide receiver, I feel like I could get a just as good of a player with just as much upside and get some youth in return. So I would probably pick the first round pick. Although I will say it probably would depend where that first round pick is, because I do really like Hunter Renfro. So like no disrespect to Hunter Renfro. Outstanding player who I would love to have on all my rosters, but I'm probably going to go with the 2022 first round pick if I was, you know, forced to choose.
I tend to agree with a lot of what you're saying, and anyone that goes to our YouTube page, I did a film breakdown on Hunter Renfro I think last week, and you know, great route runner, and underrated after the catch. You don't think of him, you know, having this tons of move, but he's so quick. And he, like you said, he's so smart at football. And I think with Daniels coming in, kind of that Edelman and Cup kind of slot receiver, even with Darren Waller there, I mean, even if they get another wide receiver outside, I mean, I don't think you're just going to stop throwing him the ball. I don't think he has the ceiling that he did this year, but I still think he's a wide receiver too. So I agree with you on the first round. If it was probably the first seven picks in the first round, I would pick the first round pick.
Yep.
But if it's after that, it would be a really tough decision, because then you're getting into players that might be in the same range of a wide receiver too. And in that case, I would rather stay with, you know, and he's still not that old. A player that has been established and that can continue that way.
Yeah, the proven quantity for sure. Yeah, I would – everything you said. I would say probably that 107 or earlier, I'm probably taking the pick, and that's probably a pretty sweet spot for me as well as, you know, anything later than that. Let's stick with Hunter Renfro. He's a great player.
I agree. I just want to say that was the biggest thing for me when I first started Dynasty, because I was so excited with the rookie drafts that I would kind of trade away players, you know, just to get more picks. And it's just, you just don't hit enough of them for it to always work. So that's
That's not what you're supposed to do? Have you been on Twitter lately?
I know. This time of year, it's always like, rookie crazy and everything. But sometimes, you know, and kind of with that, just quickly, if you have a strategy in fantasy football, especially Dynasty, and it doesn't work, you just have to cut bait quickly and just understand, you know, don't just like hold to that for years, because then you'll just keep on losing. It's just always you have to adapt and everything. So this next one is I saw someone talk about, they said Zach Wilson would be the above every quarterback in this particular class. So I wanted to get your opinion, but I will preface saying I'm not a huge Zach Wilson fan. So I want to get your opinion on that.
I was a bigger fan of his coming out of high school or out of college. I was a bigger fan of his coming out of college, like as a prospect. I thought things that he did, like on the move and the way he threw the ball and things like that. Like I was like, wow, this kid is impressive. Like really. I'm not really sure what exactly happened in the first year. This is just a New York Jets issue. I know he had some injuries he was dealing with and things like that. So it's so hard to call after like the first year, but I think I probably have him above all these quarterbacks, even with the year that he had, like dealing with injury. We didn't really get to see him that we probably all hoped to see him. So we didn't really get to evaluate him at the pro level like we probably all hoped when the year started. But I probably still prefer him over all of these guys. However, would I be surprised if one of these guys lands in a really great spot and outperformed Zach Wilson? The answer is no. And my picks to do that from this list, there's three potential guys on here, in my opinion, that I see. Be Corral, Howell, and Willis. Depending on where those guys land, depending on their, how, you know, they're utilized whenever they get into the league, whatever team they go to, I could potentially see them doing better. Although I would probably still place my money on Zach Wilson if I was asked to today.
I've kind of been thinking about this since I put this on the show sheet. And I thought at first, because like I said, I wasn't a huge Wilson fan just because I think he can do the spectacular. I just think like the normal, he kind of struggles with sometimes, which can be cleaned up. Don't get me wrong. So, but now that I think about it, I think the only one I would possibly take over him is Corral. And the thing is, Corral and him have some similarities, you know, how they can make the throws and run around and everything. I think Corral might be a little quicker in seeing things, at least what I saw on the field. I think Wilson might be a little better out of the pocket, at least in college. But it's pretty close, so I could see that. But the only one I think I would take is Corral. Even though I love Howell, I think he just doesn't have that. He's a way better runner than people give him credit for, but he just doesn't have that kind of, you don't want him running around all back there, you know, necessarily as much. He's more of a guy, you know, to get some extra yards. And he's super tough. I mean, that's one of the things I love about him. He's just so tough. And, you know, Willis, I just don't know if he has the mechanics and the throwing right now to be better than Wilson coming out. I will say I could be totally wrong about Malik Willis. If he gets everything, if he kind of pulls the Lamar and the Josh Allen and gets all that going. But I see people on Twitter saying, well, Josh Allen did it. I'm like, well, how many quarterbacks, you know, you can't bank on that one in a million getting accuracy better once they hit at the NFL.
I think the key here in is going to be for all of these guys is – one thing that we don't know, and there's no way we're going to know, is what kind of study habits are these guys going to have whenever they get into the league. Josh Allen is a student of the game. Like, he is committed, he's dedicated. A lot of his success has come from that. Yes, he's refined his game. Yes, he improved his accuracy and his throwing and things like that. But you can tell this guy, the passion is just oozing from him. And I'm sure all these guys, you know, they have passion. I'm sure they all want to be professional quarterbacks and all of that. But are they going to do the things that it takes to be successful at the highest level? It's hard for me to say. It's hard for me to even say with Zach Wilson. I did see, you know, during the Senior Bowl practices, I was able to watch some of those. I was able to kind of see some of the things that they were doing in the red zone. Willis and Howell, were they able to recognize, you know, how the defenses were lining up and know immediately, okay, this is my go-to guy based on this defense and these kinds of things. I was a little disappointed, you know, when I walked away from that they made some poor pre-snap reads and things like that. So those are some things that they've got to get cleaned up. They've got to get corrected. I'm not sure at this stage, you know, if they haven't developed that, if they don't have that ability, it does scare me away a little bit. I was disappointed. Obviously, we didn't get to see Corral in this Senior Bowl. I wish we would have got to see him and Pickett. Would like to see all of these guys in that form and been able to evaluate just a little bit more. But didn't get to, and so it, you know, it's to be determined on what their NFL futures will look like and how they'll perform.
Definitely, I agree. I think these quarterbacks, especially this year, it's going to depend on where they go, what kind of coaching they're going to get, because I think they all more need a coach to kind of go towards their strengths more than, you know, other drafts. So let's go ahead and move on. This was actually, I believe, a trade that Matt Cooper made with Aaron Jones for the 101. Obviously, there's been – last year, there's this worry with Aaron Jones too, because I actually traded for Aaron Jones actually for a pretty cheap amount. That with the running back, he's going to have the downward, you know, trend, and Aaron Rodgers is going to leave. So I truly think this is, if you're taking the Aaron Jones side of this, I assume you have a team that you think can win a championship this year or next year. So you're kind of the short window, And for the 101, you're thinking, you know, longer picture. What's your thoughts about the trade?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that you made a trade for Aaron Jones. I also made a trade for Aaron Jones in a league that I was in first place for every week of the year in, and I ended up not winning. Unfortunately, I won third place, but you know, league though, what I traded was, I got Aaron Jones for, this is going to be bad, but it was before it all happened. I think it was Henry Ruggs, a first round pick. It might have been Henry Ruggs in my second, but it was something like that. But I know it involved Henry Ruggs. So obviously, you know, I finished, you know, in the bottom half of a 12-man league. And in terms of draft, you know, like one of the last few picks of the first round. So that first round pick didn't hold as much weight. But in this case, I would say easily for me, the 101. Like you said, there's so much uncertainty with Aaron Rodgers, what's going to happen with him. I think there may be some uncertainty with Davante Adams. I wouldn't be surprised to see Davante Adams be in a different uniform next year. But for me, pretty easy choice. Give me that 101, and I'll let Aaron Jones go walk.
I think the only reason people might be hesitant is the people saying that this draft isn't as good, and maybe those that don't think Breece Hall or Isaiah Spiller are that good. But
miss me with it.
Yeah, so I'm a huge Breece Hall fan. Obviously, we'll have to wait where he goes. But I mean, if he goes somewhere like a Miami and Atlanta that needs a running back, I think this, you know, even other places, but definitely those situations, I would love that. But yeah, I think it's mostly for those people that are saying, I don't want 2022 picks because this isn't a good draft. So they're pushing it off for 2023. And we think at least the running backs are going to be Drake for 2023, but we don't know about quarterbacks, wide receiver. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Just like some players, we didn't know, you know, Kenny Pickett was going to make this rise. And, you know, Matt Corral was kind of iffy before last year because of all of his turnovers. And so, you know, there's everything that can happen. But I tend to agree on this too. I hope I can get a couple more good years out of Aaron Jones since I have him in a couple leagues. Yeah. But definitely the running back position, you never know when they're going to hit that, you know, that where they fall off. So definitely.
I like Aaron Jones. And I would prefer him. So we're talking about him versus the 101. And let me clarify that I do think I would probably prefer him over any of the running backs in this class, but that wouldn't be my 101 anyways. Breece Hall wouldn't be my 101. It would be Garrett Wilson, like I said. So if you're asking me to choose between Garrett Wilson or Aaron Jones, give me Garrett Wilson.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah.
So, and then the last one, there's been kind of a little bit of talk about Christian Kirk, you know, being a free agent and going to some teams. So, you know, he's probably a little lower thought of right now than Hunter Renfrow, but early second round rookie pick this coming year. So I guess that would be 2.1 to 2.5. So would you take Christian Kirk? You know, there's uncertainty where he's going to go, or this, you know, the second round pick.
Are we talking, what's the format of the league? Are we talking super tight end premium?
Yeah. Let's okay. Say that.
Then I'm probably going with the second round pick. And the reason is I'm probably targeting Trey McBride with that pick. I probably would prefer him or even Weidemeyer over Christian Kirk, who, you know, he's a good player. He doesn't quite get separation like you would hope from he's a wide receiver three, in my opinion. I don't see him. I mean, he may have a wide receiver two or one game every while, but for the most part, like if you're asking me to classify him as what kind of wide receiver is he in fantasy, whether he's in Arizona or whether he's somewhere else, almost anywhere else, I'm going to say probably wide receiver three. And so if I could get a tight end, potentially a tight end one tight end two even out of Weidemeyer or Trey McBride. I think tight end two would be their floors. Give me one of those guys.
Definitely, I agree. Yeah, I think you're right. Christian Kirk, probably at best, he's a borderline wide receiver 2-3, you know, in that kind of like flex area. He might get you, like you said, those games where he has, you know, but I just don't think he, at least for me, I have had Christian Kirk on teams, and what he'll always do, he'll have a couple games where he it looks like he's going to break out, and then he'll come up with a stinker with like one catch for 8 yards. Yeah. So he's just that inconsistent player. Really, he's the best type of player for something like a best ball where, you know, you can have him and he's going to have the best games and you don't have to pick which game he's going to blow up because that's a problem. And I actually I agree with you on the tight ends. I agree with you on, you know, if somehow maybe one of those running backs jump up or when the quarterbacks fall or even this wide receiver class, I like a lot of these wide receivers. I think there's only, you know, a couple elite, not as elite as, you know, Jamar Chase, but upper end, and then there's a bunch of them that I think could be really good. I really like Jahan Dotson in the right scheme. I could see him doing very well in the NFL today. You know, there's same questions with David Bell about separation because, you know, he doesn't get a ton of it, but I think he does a lot of things well. I know that, and you know a lot of people don't necessarily love his tape because, you know, he doesn't get separation. Then I'm not even big on Drake London, but if, you know, somehow he fell to like 201 or 202 and I could make that, I think, you know, he has a better upside than Christian Kirk. So I tend to agree with you on that. So definitely. So those are some of the rookies that we kind of wanted to talk about, kind of the, you know, in dynasty format. So I want to thank you for joining me and good luck in your endeavors for, you know, that podcast and whatever else is coming. So that's the episode for this week. And we'll be back with another special guest in 2 weeks. So we'll see you guys then.